Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Şirâhu nâs al-mufarrikûne beynel ahibbâ al-meşşâ'une bin nemîmâ al-bâhûne al-burâ'a al-anet. Who's the worst? So there's three statements that have been made here. المفرقون بين الأحبة. You incite and divide. Like how the list, they say, divide and rule. So المفرقون بين الأحبة, to create divisions. One. Number two, المشاؤون بالنميمة. And to carry tales. Carry tales means نقل الكلام على وجه الفساد. To carry a tale, to incite trouble. And number three, الباغون الغراء الأنت. Third is and making allegations against innocent. People are innocent, but you're making allegations against them. So the hadith declares this type of persons to be the worst. فَرِّقُوا لَبَيْنَ الْأَحِبَّةِ. So Islam talks about promoting love, kindness, muhabbat and understanding, and this is a work that is working totally in reverse. We are talking about loving, muhabbat and understanding, and the opposite is to create divisions, friction and hatred. So this, in the words of the hadith, this is the worst type of person. Now people like this thing. Unfortunately, they like this. Some people are over considerate with their eyes. When I hear the story, I don't discourage them. Because many people, their deen will be saved if the home is right. If the home is not right, the whole deen goes off. So it's Ramadan time in India somewhere. He's on Mawla Abdul Jalil Sahib. So in India, they have like an iftari party. So the Maghrib Namaz will start approximately half an hour after the azan. So people make party and then they come for the Maghrib Namaz. They call it an iftari party. So this Mawla Abdul Jalil's elder brother, he says to him that today the iftari party will be my place, in the tent. So Mawla Abdul Jalil says, alright, I still have to just consult my wife. Now, India, summer, and this long roza, 17, 18 hours roza. So, you were upset. I'm the elder brother, I'm like your father. And you still have to consult with your wife. So, he stood up and gave one slap. Now, you get some people. Today, nowadays, the majority of the people want to divide inside. So, they are telling him, see, he's got no business to hit you like this. It's your prerogative. You want to accept or you want to turn down the invite. It's your prerogative. But he has no business to come and disgrace you like this. So you just file a case against him, be all the witnesses. Put him in his place. Allah gave him tawfiq. He said, you see, this is an internal problem between me and my brother. He is my elder brother, like my father. So if he slaps me, and even if it is in the presence of people, so what? My father did the same, I will take it gladly. My father, he is man, and I will hold in esteem, and I must respect him for whatever. For small thing now, I must get upset with him. I must break up with him, pull up my face. Is that right? No. He's my elder brother, and he has no right to hit me. I know he doesn't have the right to hit me. He doesn't have the right to disgrace me. But now I have a duty towards respecting him. See, Islam talks more about fulfillment of rights, fulfillment of duties, not securing rights. You will take care of your rights, but the great emphasis is fulfill your duty. Is it? What's your duty? Are you fulfilling your duty? So what happens to us is that when we see some of our thing not working out, some of our rights being encroached, then we'll take that as a weapon and add everything to it. He did this also, he did this also, he did this also. Our mind will work out a story and strengthen the case, and then we'll feel justified. And the Islamic way is the other way around. When there's a case, then you see, alright, he's done this to me, but he's also my elder brother, and perhaps he's got a right, he's got an opinion. He's got a right to do it. Because if he's not going to correct me, then who's going to correct me? This may seem to be insignificant, but my elder brother is not going to correct me, then who's going to correct me? And we have a relationship and he's correcting me. Now it may be something insignificant. Tomorrow may be a major misdemeanor, that there will be nobody to correct me. So let this happen and I must take it with a cheer. See how he's thinking. Let it happen and I must take it with cheer. I mustn't be pulled up. I mustn't come up in arms against him. I mustn't make it a story. See, if Allah blesses someone with the right understanding, then a major case can be reduced to nothing. On some other occasion you can try nicely by school a little bit now. Some other occasion. Not at that time. See, there's a time to say something. Sometimes a person is emotional. When he's emotional, you're telling him something, then he may not receive your good words well. So you'll have to wait for his emotions to subside. Then you find him in a good frame of mind, and you spoke to him that this is not the right thing. But now straight away now he's emotional, and then you are speaking to him, then it may not work like how you would like it to work. See, his words are such, jirahatul lisan la iltiyar. Jirahatul lisan. The injury of the tongue can't be repaired. But now, if something is done to you, now how do you respond to it? How must you work? You have got the right, but how do you, how are you thinking about it? Let me look at the broader picture. You know, in fiqh there is a law. The law is يُتَحَمَّلُ الزَّرَرُ الْخَاسِ لِزَرَرِ الْعَامِ. This is a problem. But I need to tolerate this in view of the bigger picture. See, this I have to tolerate and I must consider the bigger picture. See, I can't now just take this in isolation and forget the bigger picture. Now say, for example, now our Imam Sahib is making a mistake. The mistake he's making, perhaps he's making the dua loudly, right? And that's disturbing the masbuk. It's a mistake. He's supposed to say it softly. Now I make a big noise about it. Imam Sahib, he doesn't know. The dua must be done softly. You see how he's shouting and making dua. Now, the Imam said, alright, I'm giving him my resignation and I won't be performing namaz from today onwards. It's the second of Ramadan, he already started Taraweeh. Now what will happen? What will happen now? But the whole community is stranded, who's going to read Taraweeh, who's going to perform the namaz. So sometimes you have to tolerate something in view of the broader picture. Like this, you find an occasion nicely to make him understand. But now, we just break away and shout, rave and rant, and then you expect things to come right. It's misunderstanding. See, there's a way to correct a situation. You must correct, but there's a way. Sometimes, it's a person that is new, so you correct him in a different way. Person comes and urinates in the masjid. Sahaba kiram are rushing to stop him, but Rasulullah passes the next thing. See, he's making pisap here. You're going to stop him. So, obviously, that urine is not going to stop straight away. And then the whole place will be soiled. Now, set him, allow him to urinate, finish. After that, you'll correct him. But you see now, if someone is looking at it from one perspective, his mind is off, see, mind not thinking right. The Rasulullah person allowed him to make pisab in the masjid. See how the minds are working today. So, the need for a guided study, not a self-study. Now, if you look at all this type of hadiths in isolation, you find eight hadiths. Sa'd ibn Mu'az, radiallahu anhu, he was shot somewhere in the arm, right? Akhul, his army was shot. Some delicate nerve was caught, and it was quite serious. So the Sulay person asked that he must be set, he must be living in the masjid, and we'll nurse him from close. We'll see him and can attend to him from a close proximity. If someone looks at this hadith, and he says that it means we can make the masjid into a hospital. So, there must be a hospital inside the masjid. Samama ibn Sal radiallahu anhu is a leader of Banu Hanfiya, right? The leader. So, he did a lot of things against Islam. So, he was captured, brought into the masjid, and he was fastened against one of the pillars, right? Now someone looks at this hadith, that means the masjid can also be a prison. Right. Then you look at another hadith, looking for Ali radiallahu anhu, and explained that huwa yakhsifu an-na'la fil masjid. He's there sitting in the masjid and he's fixing his shoe, sewing the thing, broken, so he's fixing it up. Now someone looks at this hadith in isolation and then he says you can make it a shoe shop also, shoemaker's shop. Then you find one hadith coming in that the Habash is practicing archery in the masjid. So that means you can make it a battle training ground as well. Training ground for battle, right? You can use that for battle training, war. Then you find the Banu Saqif or the Najran, right? Najran, they are Christians and they came as a delegation, right, to discuss Christianity, Islam, etc. And they were housed in the masjid, right? And they were allowed to worship towards their own direction, own Qibla, they have towards the east. The Christians face towards the east. Whereas from Medina, the Qibla is towards the south. And here they are allowed. So now, if someone uses that hadith, that means within a masjid you can have a church. See that? So now, the wrong of isolated, independent studies. So, Some things were allowed at a point and then it was discontinued. You're allowed to do something, like when they came into Medina Munawwara, up to that point, interest wasn't haram, right? So you're allowed. Wine wasn't yet haram, so they're allowed. Now you take this, and you know, see, they're allowing this, so therefore this is permissible, that be right. So the prohibition must have come later. Otherwise, now the masjid must be good for a shoemaker's shop, a hospital, a prison, a training ground, you can make a church inside that, everything you can do. See? Now, this is now a failure. Failure in two respects. One is, it's unsupervised study. And number two is, every person with half the information, quarter information, and he's deducing and extracting from the hadith directly. So one level of information, extracting a law from the hadith directly, from the Quran Sharif directly. All that information has to be collated, see it in perspective, and then you come to right conclusion. That's the right way, that's justice. It has got one-sided information. So what will you do? You make the masjid, no, the masjid, synagogue, church, everything. Everything can work. Now they talk about multi-faith, starting it up from in Dubai, multi-faith. One center, Muslim can do his thing, Christian can do his thing, Hindu can do his thing, Satanist can do his thing, everybody under one roof they can do it. So you see this, what happens after that. So you have to be very, very grateful to these imams. They went and sifted all the hadiths, showed which hadith applies to which situation and why can't it be applicable to another situation. Because of their research and their deep study, then Islam is alive today. And if it was not for their work, then today everything would have been diluted. Like what's going on now, everything would have been diluted. One person is brought his animal into the masjid. One person is urinating, one person brought his animal. While Umm Salama was not feeling well, so at the Hajjatul Wida, she had to still do her Tawaf al-Wida. So she did her Tawaf al-Wida on camelback. So now, bring your animals inside the masjid. She brought it right into the haram. So what's wrong? See, so all those imams, they have to come in and they have to separate everything, right? This hadith here, where does it come? How does it fall? Where does it apply? Where doesn't it apply? And this pick and choose Islam, then there will be nothing left of Islam. No structure, no spirit, and no direction. Everything will be lost. So we are talking about this Maulana Abdul Jalil, see. So now see how he's looking at it. He's looking at it in perspective. My elder brother, and I said, يُتَحَمَّلُ الزَّرَرُ الْخَاسِ لِذَرَرِ الْعَامِ. Right. But sometimes you tolerate something small, it's wrong, it's a misdemeanor, but you've tolerated in view of a bigger picture. See, Harun alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is born to the tour, right, to get the revelation. And وَاتَّخَذَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ حُلِيهِمْ عِجْلًا جَسَدًا لَوْ خُوَارٍ. These people took two calf worship. See that? وَاتَّخَذَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ حُلِيهِمْ عِجْلًا جَسَدًا لَوْ خُوَارٍ. They began to worship the cow. Right? So, Musa alayhi salam came back very upset. مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ ضَلُّوا أَلَّا تَتَّبِعَنِ أَفَعَصَيْتَ أَمْرِي. Sai Sai is very upset. So upset he is with his brother. His brother is elder than him, Harun al-Islam, right? born about a year or 2 years before him. So he's grabbed him by the beard and by the head. Right? He's very upset with his elder brother. So his brother is pleading, La ta'khuz, was that ayat? Bilihyati wa la birasi. Don't grab me like this. And وَلَا تُشْمِدْ بِيَ الْأَعْدَى. And don't embarrass me before these enemies. Then he gave two reasons. كَادُوا يَقْتُلُونِي. They could have killed me. They were on the verge of killing me. And number two, before you could go for the Torah, you had given some instruction. One instruction was that I must maintain peace and unity amongst the Bani Israel. Musa is saying what? مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذْ رَأَيْتُمْ ضَلُّوا أَلَّا تَتَّبِعَنِي. مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذْ رَأَيْتُمْ ضَلُّوا أَلَّا تَتَّبِعَنِي. When you saw them going off, then you should have joined me. Why did you join me then? So now, the story has to be understood in a little bit of perspective. But because it's not understood in perspective, and you're getting people misconstruing the whole story. The story that is given now, somebody is giving, na'uzu billah, that Musa alayhi salam acted in haste. Ma a'ajalaka an qawmika ya Musa. And because he acted in haste, then this Bani Israel by now, approximately over 500,000, right? So he acted in haste, and because of him acting in haste, these people went into cow worship. But that's one statement that is being made, right? Right? Now, it's a wrong statement. That means what person is saying this, what he's alluding? He's alluding to the fact that Musa alayhi salam didn't make proper arrangements for his absence. His absentia, he didn't make any arrangements how the Bani Israel must be governed and how they must be taken care of. See, that's what he's alluding. Whereas Musa alayhi salam made all the arrangements. He said, put everything in place. He said, Ukhlufni fi qawmi. Harun, you must stand in my place. You must manage. And also showed him what to do. Aslih wa la tattabi sabila al-mufsidin. See that you put things right. Anything wrong, to see that. And don't go off. Don't go on the wrong. And amongst the hidayah that was given, don't create a split and a division within the Bani Israel. See that. So, Musa alayhi salam, did he fail in his duty? Can you say that he failed in his duty? Now this is the word that has been given, that na'uzu billah, he failed in his duty as he hurried. Therefore Allah Baraka had shouted him, Ma a'ajalaka an qawmika ya Musa. So this is a wrong interpretation. It's given by some people nowadays, unfortunately. When Asad gave that, it was wrong that. If you look at the verses, so now the question will be that Ma a'ajalaka an qawmika ya Musa, who does it refer to? Ma a'ajalaka an qawmika ya Musa, who does it refer to? So there were two people, two groups. One group, wakhtara Musa bin qawmi sab'ina rajulan li miqatina. One group with the elite, Musa alayhi salam had handpicked them to join him to the tour. And the other group was still left in the town. So Musa alayhi salam had handpicked these people and moved on to the tour. And the rest of them were left under the guidance and supervision of Harun alayhi salam. So when Allah Pak asked, Ma a'ajalaka an qawmika, that what made you come in advance of your people, hurried, right? So Musa alayhi salam's reply was, Hum ula'i ala asari, they are on my footsteps. So he said, they are on my footsteps, who are they referring to? See? The 70. وَاخْتَارَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَوْمِي 70 رَجُلًا لِمِيقَاتِهِ. Right. They are on my هُمْ أُولَئِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِ وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّ لِتَرْضَى. And I hastened, why? To please you. So was there anything wrong there? Now to create a story, Musa alayhi salam, na'uzu billah, neglected the Bani Israel, which resulted in over 500,000 becoming murtad, right? Is that giving a right story? Or is it misconstruing? It's misconstruing. How you are running down an abbey. So how important it is to see it in perspective. And so Musa, Harun alayhi salam is giving it in his defense. He says, Musa alayhi salam saying, مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذْ رَأَيْتَهُمْ ضَلُّوا أَلَّا تَتَّبِعَنِي. When you saw them going off, then you should have left them and come to me. So Harun alayhi salam said in his defense, you see, you asked me to avoid creating a split in the Bani Israel. إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. I was afraid that he would have said that I created a split, a divided. He must have said this because he got that instruction. خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ إِسْرَائِيلَ. وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. You didn't pay heed to what I had to say. Had I left them and come to you, then there would have been a group would have been with me, right? And a group that would have been left behind. So would this amount to a split or not? The amount to a split? So now, I have to just remain with them and keep on making nahi and munkar. Right? I have to remain with them and until you return. Because you said, don't create a split. I joined you, that these people would have got more astray and there would have been a definite split. Prominent, you know, a visible split. So therefore, after the Musa alayhi salam did not reprimand his brother. He didn't say anything. But he said, after they said, Rabbi khfirli wa li akhi, forgive us. I had held my brother with a little bit of aggression, right? Although the catalyst was right, but I didn't have the right to do this. His whole defense was right. His answering was right. So I didn't have so. Right. Although I did it with the right intentions, but then he didn't deserve this. So what I'm showing sometimes with humble zarar al khas, the zarar al am. Sometimes it's a small problem. So Musa, Harun is had to endure that. They had kufr, but he had to endure and keep making nahi and munkar in that environment. Because if he left that, the whole Bani Israel would have been gone even deeper and it would have been out of control. But here, a good size of the Bani Israel had listened to Harun al-Islam. And a good amount had went on the other end. But had Harun al-Islam just left straight away, then the whole would have been a major split. See, like when the Tabligh Jamaat, when they are doing some work, right? Today you'll get one musalli, tomorrow you'll get another musalli, and then by the next week you'll get 20 musalli. It doesn't happen. So people are coming on the right. If I desert them then, just leave them, then they'll plunge into that wrong. And you ask me not to create a division. So I had to tolerate that in view of the bigger picture. The bigger picture. Now to misconstrue this and say that Musa alayhi salam neglected his people, as a result, now over 500,000 people have become murtad, is it right? Is it right? See now. So, when it comes to the to the integrity of a Nabi, you should be very careful. You can't just blurt out everything and anything that you would like. When it refers to integrity. Look at the whole picture, then you got the whole thing right. So people don't have that nowadays. They don't have that. So to look at things in perspective, see it nicely, see how it stemmed from, where it stemmed from, how it happened. What they like to do is jump to conclusions, number one, and number two, insight, to spur problem, spur a riot, bring about trouble. In India, there was a very great alim, Raham Ilahi, right? Rahmatullah Alayh. Very great saintly person. So, all good people, ulama, saintly people, they have those people that will be with them and those that will be against. Ja'alna li kulli nabiyyin aduwwan. So, people that stand for the right will have someone with them and someone against them. It's going to happen. You won't have a time where all will be with you, the whole. There's someone supporting you, someone against you. So now, to spite this alim, what they did, they had a good Qawwali show just in the precincts of the masjid. The masjid is here. So that all the singing and clapping and music, all that will be blasting out and all will be filtering through the masjid. See. Now the idea is to spite the Mu'ala. Mu'ala is against all these things here. Now how do we get against it? How? So we just have a wedding. Like to have it there, a big Qawwali show, and music, dancing, all must take place there. So you put him in his place. See? So this clash between the truth and falsehood will be ever. Like our clash between Islam, Satanism, Islam, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Islam, Hindu, the clash will remain. So this clash is not going to end, it's going to remain. So now, what they thought of, right, outside the masjid, they do this thing here. You can't say anything because not in the masjid property, outside. But the disturbance, the wrong that is happening, openly, big crowd, people like what, all these type of things they like. You announce for a talk, right? So if a very, very prominent speaker, maybe 200 people come. But you announce one Qawwali show. A free Qawwali show that gives some kebabs after that. Top singers are coming. All the musicians and the art and everything. Dances, the woman, everything. Yeah, you won't get a place in that. 5,000 people come here. What is happening? So people like all these things. Good things, very limited. This type of things, every old place is choked. Chock-a-block, see. So now they arrange for this Qawwali thing and they got choked. Now it's namaz time and they're still carrying on. Mawlana Rahim Ilahi Sahib has to come for namaz. So he's thinking to himself that they are disturbing the whole namaz here. And I have to stop this thing. But how do I stop this thing? He's thinking within his mind, there's 5,000 people here, I'm one, and how do I stop this thing? So he says, you see, the center of attraction is that girl that is dancing and singing. She's singing and dancing to the crowd, right? So I must get to her and then I stop the whole thing. So he cut through the whole crowd, went to her and smashed her head, tore his shoes, smashed it nicely, come a good shot here. So now, if you smash someone, can he sing any longer? Can he dance now? Say, what are you doing? So all that emotion, everything will subside. So he smashed an ice with shots, she was crying and she sat down. So all Muslim people, not non-Muslims, all Muslim people. So now that crowd, there was a personal grudge against the Mawlana. So they tell this girl, you see, it's your diplomatic right to do what you want. He had no business to stop you. That's your democratic right to do what you wanted to do. And he had no business to do all these things to you. So what you must do, you file a case against him. All of us are witnesses. There's jailing, put into jail. Very disgrace. Now, some people's iman asaj, it's like a jewel, it's a diamond, but just that for the moment, it's covered in storage, you see. So this girl, she had that iman. Iman was the jewel was there. But it's covered in storage. Wrong she's doing, right? So she says, you know, your iman may be weak, my iman is not weak. And the test of his iman being right is that his iman is right and your iman is questionable. What is the test? The test is, see, he tore, the whole crowd came right up to me. He smashed me. None of you all had the courage to stop him. So his iman was so powerful. You, this weakling, 5,000 of you couldn't do anything to him. So that means he's got a special ta'aluk with Allah Ta'ala. Special relationship. For him to have such guts, turn to the crowd, hit me on the head like that, and sit me down like that, you know. So his ta'aluk with Allah Ta'ala must have been very great. So relationship with Allah Ta'ala is very great. So when he's a man of Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to do anything, that means I'm working against Allah Ta'ala. And I can't risk my iman. You all know risk your iman, that's your business, but I don't risk my iman. See what people do inside. And we don't realize the inciting comes through the social media, to a friend, to a social group. But one person is inside the circle and everybody gets incited. We don't know what the truth of the matter. Nobody's making tahqeeq, nobody's checking around. But we have to. Now, this woman then, she went to Mullah and said, see, you know, I'm such a gunegar, selling my body, singing to the crowd, dancing, and all in haram. So, you help me to make, you guide me to make tawbah. Mullah said, see, I will guide you, but you need to get married. So you're living this loose life. If you're not in marriage then, can anything stop you again to fall into this? So you rather get married, then the tawbah, inshallah, will guide you towards tawbah. But you see this, some people's iman, how strong it is. The understanding is right. And I'm showing you, Muhammadu az-zararul khas, fi zararul am. There was zarar in this as well, but he had to tolerate this in view of the bigger picture. The Jalil Sahib had to tolerate that in view of the bigger picture. That's man of sight. See, Allah Pak speaks about the Anbiya. Wazkur Ibrahim wa Ishaq wa Yaqub ulil aidi wal absar. What? Ulil aidi wal absar. And say aidi in Arabic means people of strength, you know, in executing good works, namaz, zakat, and they were doing it with strength. They were doing it well. They were doing it. Wal absar, people with vision. People of strength in executing the command of Allah Ta'ala and people of vision. See, I'm showing you the people of vision. See. So you'll get an element that will try and disrupt, will try and divide, will try and incite, right, spur trouble. And sometimes your nafs will be doing it. Sometimes people will do it, and sometimes your nafs, yeah, you got no business to do this, why he did this? See? Sometimes it's people, and sometimes your own mind. So you'll heap up all the ammunition to gun him down. All the equipment you will take, load it, let's bulldoze him, let's gun him down, let's run him down. Now, that's an indication that you've got no sight, no understanding. You've got understanding, you know, alright, it's a situation now, it's volatile, it's hot, nobody's going to understand straight away. Let's wait for the whole thing to calm off. When they calmed off and they're understanding, then we'll explain the whole thing to them clearly. Now that's called sight, understanding. Man can be understanding, but for that moment he loses it. As Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib, or the leaders of the Tabligh Jamaat. So the Jamaat was just started off. India, 1930s, just started off. In 1930s, they started off. So as it started off, so Jamaats are being sent in different directions. One to Lucknow, Lahore. But as the Jamaat is going to Lahore, so as Muhammad Ilyas Sahib will send another group to check on them. You know how you supervise, to supervise that they're doing it rightly. So Sayyid Khan Sahib was sent as a supervising Jamaat to go and check on the Jamaat that's already active. So they came up now to Lahore station, and the uncle was there. So the uncle received them nicely. So they had meals. So obviously the question will be, what work you came for so that I can help you. The uncle is asking, well, what work you've got so that I can assist you. So now we came for Tabligh. So the uncle's reply was, but did you spread Islam in the whole Delhi that you have to come 500 miles right to Lahore? So the Sathis very nicely, they turned the whole topic and they continued. They slept nicely, had breakfast. Next morning now, Tabligh Jamaat, about 9, 10 o'clock, they have a Talimi circle, a Talimi session here. So they have a Talimi session. So, Sayyid Khan Sahib is the eldest of the group. When the elder comes, then you ask him to conduct it, right? So, Sayyid Khan Sahib is there. So they asked him to conduct the whole session. Now, then he outlined the whole work, how it happens, and how it should be taking place, you see. So anyway, the uncle also was there to hear what's going on, see what's going on. So now they had to return after that, to return back to the uncle, have lunch and all that, and return back to Delhi. So they came for lunch. So the uncle is telling them, you know, last night I asked you all that the whole Delhi is in Islam, that you have to come back to Lahore 500 miles away. And very conveniently, we have changed the topic, and the discussion continued. And today this morning, you outlined the whole thing, how it works. And it was good that you didn't discuss it last night. But the uncle was a lecturer, right? But because, see, last night, I was in the josh. I was very, very agitated, right? When I was agitated, then if you had said anything, I would have responded straight away. If you said anything at that time I was in the josh. Now I'm relaxed, calmed off. When I'm calmed and relaxed, now you open the whole work, how it works, why it's done in this manner, why it's not done like that. Now I'm in a better position to accept it. That time I was on the offensive. Now I'm relaxed. So when I'm relaxed, my mind is relaxed, I'm in a better position to accept. So the Sayyid Khan Sahib says that, see, this was the teaching, the blessing of the teaching of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, that when a person is in the offensive mood, that you don't speak to him at that time. Because when he's in the offensive mood, that his mind is not prepared to accept. So you have to wait for the person to relax, he's calmed off. When he's calmed off, now it's another session, everything is quiet and clear. Now you've got a chance to open the whole discussion. Open the seminar. This is the strategy, this is the plan, and this is the reason why we're going according to this plan. See how? Public relation, PRO, is not an easy thing. You think it's an easy thing. Think of how to do it. Which stroke for which folk? It's a stroke, but for the folk, which time? How to do it? Otherwise, I said, see, شرار عباد الله المفرقون بين الأحبة. See now, when you create a split, then I ask you, how many of us have this initiative to go and patch it up and resume normal relationship, all that? How many of us have that? Is it easy? So, I stand for the haq, see this. And then, the whole split now to reunite the whole thing, it becomes an effort. So now, you think now, right, where the people are now, and then how to bring them up, see. Where are they? And how to bring them up. Like I said now, the Imam is doing a mistake, right? And you're going to jam him, shout at him. Now he's not prepared to perform the namaz. You stuck up for Taraweeh, Bayan, Jummah, all the namaz. What's going to happen? The old masjid is going to come to a standstill. So that's why يُتَحَمَّلُوا الزَّرَرُ الْخَاسِ لِزَرَرِ الْعَامِ. Allah Prophet of Peace be upon him.